on 1116 SEN. Hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Mazda, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family, and Flex Vehicle Management Service from 67 cents a day. Visit flexvs.com.
9:07, good morning and welcome to the program. Now, former Collingwood Premiership captain Nick Maxwell, an SEN commentator, said last night, AFL clubs should be able to trade at any time during the season, as long as the players and the clubs agree. Does that not leave the door open for clubs to manipulate success? Let's trade in Nick Riewoldt for the finals, or any superstar whose club has missed out on September action. Let's do a deal. Gold Coast and GWS took a lot of talent out of the system, and clubs are now taking advantage of a less compromised system. Players now have the opportunity to move at the end of the season. It's their choice to stay or go. It's not fair to change the dynamics of the season. There's no quick fix here. I'm KB. That's my take.
It's time we evolve as a game, and we bring in, and this is probably going to put some noses out of joint, and there's going to be some stiffs out there who won't be happy with it, so they won't be able to get their head around
some
it.
Stiffs. There are a lot of stiffs out there, Nick.
There's a lot of stiffs.
I guarantee you that.
It's time that we trade any time. You can trade, any club can trade whenever they want, as long as the two clubs agree and the player being traded agrees.
Yeah, there's a lot of merit to it. I was really pleased to hear what Nick said last night, actually. I think it's acknowledged across the industry now that we have the most constrained player movement opportunities in professional sports, certainly in football. I think any opportunity to have movement in your list is a good thing.
Do we want to provide a mechanism that allows clubs to fix their mistakes on the run? Or do you have to wear it for that 12 months?
Right.
I like survival of the fittest.
They may feel less comfortable about this and the fact that they can just be traded all the time. Like, overall, everybody's going to be happy with something whereby it increases player movement.
When's it open?
Any time, but I think you should finish by finals. I don't think you should go out and just grab someone.
Well, maybe I'm one of those stiffs. That's Nick Maxwell last night on the run home. He'd like to see players traded any time, anywhere, as long as the clubs agree during the course of the system. Do you agree with that? 9429 1116 0433 98 1116. If you want to send through an SMS, if you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29 or Hungry for Sport. Coming up, Greg Venom Denham is about to join us. He'll be spitting out some poison today. You can always set the sporting agenda. It's always your forum to fire up. Steve Salisbury, always the man from Sacramento. We catch up with Frank Panisi with the mighty Melbourne Storm. Get something off your chest. Always an opportunity to pick up some great prizes as well. But again, your forum to talk about any topic that's on your mind. And then the buzz, Johnny Ralph with his famous three stings. He joins us from 11. But coming up, Greg Venom Denham. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, KB. I didn't think I'd be here talking about this subject until I heard that last night on the run home, and I thought you would have picked up on that immediately. I think Patrick's gibberator has been going off from... I reckon I can hear it from miles away.
I can't hear it, Greg.
But a fair dinkum, honestly. Nick Maxwell...
Oh, no, hang on. It is working.
No, that's not Patrick's gibberator. No, that shouldn't happen. But honestly, look, Nick Maxwell may well have been a good captain, but I'm not sure about his opinion on this. I think that Chris Scott said it recently. I reckon he was on probably on the couch, I think, and said that he believed in astute list management. And that normally takes a number of years, as you said. You can't have a quick fix. I mean... We have a salary cap. We've got a draft system. We've got a father-son rule. We've got academy players. We've got free agency. Do we really want open slather? I think that it's certainly got the potential if that came in, and I just think it's a cop-out for bad management. And if it came in, I think it would affect the development of players within clubs. I mean, I can't believe that we would think... As you said, let's just say...
Changes the dynamics of the season, don't you think?
Well, injuries hit everyone at different stages, so it's the luck of the draw there, right? I'm sure that some clubs would love an instant rebuild. In other words, you know, Brisbane right now need a tall forward like it's the most important thing in the league at the moment. They would love to go out and pick someone, but it's just... It won't... I don't think it'll work. I don't think fans would like it either, seeing, let's just say, young Bruce at St Kilda playing for the Saints, and all of a sudden in round 16 he's been out of form, and he goes to Brisbane because they've offered him big bucks, as long as he fits into a salary cap. I mean, are there draft picks involved? I mean, it's just to me.
Can you be traded back the next year? Can you just get the player in for that particular period of time and then come next year? We just trade him back to the club. Well, we do some sort of a deal, Greg. And does it,
that
does
would
it,
be ridiculous.
Does it leave it open for things to be manipulated?
Absolutely.
Do that deal with you, but you know, come next year, we might have a chat to you, you know, just behind closed doors about, you know, taking a certain player at a certain time, all those sorts of things.
Footy's a lot about luck, Kevin, and that you just can't overcome bad luck at times by having a quick fix.
But players, I know Chris Pelton said before that, you know, it's good to see players can't be restrained. But Greg, the players, what we've seen in recent times is if a player wants to leave his club, he leaves his club. So if you want to stay at your club, you can stay at your club. But if you don't want to play at that club, there's no way known, Greg, that clubs these days will hang on to a player who doesn't want to be there. Look at Ryan Griffin. I mean, a captain of the Bulldogs doesn't want to be there, so we let him go. We saw five players leave.
What about Dane? What about Dane Beams?
Dane Beams, I'm off. He's under contract. I mean, I don't want to be here. Alan Christensen.
The movement of players.
You can move. You can move if you want to.
Has never been better. I mean, I don't think there's a restrictive of trade. Certainly not as much as there was because free agencies opened that way up. I think that I think the system would certainly pass a court challenge of restricted trade. Like there was talk many years ago that it may not. I think it would now because player movement has opened up more than ever. I think what we've got now is very sufficient. And you know one thing, like when you talk about going through players, and this gets me back to another topic that's in the Herald Sun today. Ralphie's written that the AFL are going to have a task force now.
Again, another one.
To try and address the serious imbalance between the league's power clubs and the battlers. Now, this is almost what we're almost talking about, the same thing. You know, not everyone can win the flag every year, Kevin. Not everyone can be in the top eight. Okay, there's always going to be your cellar dwellers. There's always going to be clubs at the bottom of the ladder and developing. And you know what it takes to get off the bottom or off the bottom four? Good management by your clubs. And if there's imbeciles out there running clubs badly, well, they'll be found out and they'll be replaced like what happened at Melbourne a couple of years ago. So, I mean, I there's no quick fix. And I don't think that trading any time, I mean, that is, honestly, that will be gibberish of the week next, no doubt.
Let's take some early calls, 9429 1116. Do you like Maxie's idea that you can trade any time during the course of the season? Maybe as it approaches finals, maybe there's a cut-off point there somewhere, as long as the two clubs agree and the player agrees or players agree. We'll take some early calls, 9429 1116. Perry is from Altona. G'day, Perry.
Hey, how are you, fellas?
Good, mate. You?
Personally, I don't even like the free agency. I think it destroys sense of team and the sense of staying at one club and being a one club player just to find success.
Well, the players did want it though, don't forget.
And that's fine. But with this new introduction of wanting to bring the trade for the whole season, I'm a big fan of the EPL and I see that they have loans for players. So I think you were talking about before that a player could go for 6 months and come back. I don't know if that's a way of the future, maybe to do loans and then for them to come back. But personally, with this trade, I think it's just going to destroy the sense of rebuilding a club. Because if a young player that looks promising goes to another club, you've lost a potential future great player for your club.
Yeah, and you've lost the opportunity to develop. Like, you know, West Coast at the moment, for example, are really almost non-existent for key defenders. And they may well have another injury this week. They've got a kid over there called Young Barras. Now, he played his first league game in the Waffle last week and had injuries for 2 years, came up, played a few reserves game, played his actual first Waffle game last week. Now, he might be thrown into the deep end in 3 or 4 weeks' time and he might be a superstar in the making. Now, he might not get a chance if this system was available to them and they went down and found a stand-in fullback for a couple of months. No, don't like it at all.
Perry, thanks for that. Dylan is in Torquay. He wants to talk about Maxie's idea. G'day, Dylan.
G'day, mate.
G'day.
I agree what Perry said. It's in hindsight, it will work, but also I think it's a good idea because you got teams like Carlton, Melbourne, and Western Bulldogs that are coming up and rising up and want to rebuild it, all that. And you've got players that are going to have a trade throughout the season, it's going to leave all the other clubs like Hawthorn, Essendon, to basically have to do one better by getting a elite midfielder like probably Mark Murphy or Dane Swan to come in into the side when they're not playing so well, and make the competition uneven every single time. If they don't have their actual training session, season, the whole season, they should cut it off probably 2 weeks before the finals, right? So leaves it probably around 20 and stuff, but I don't think it's quite a good idea.
But I think we know before then, Dylan, don't we, who the sides are more than likely are going to be playing in the finals. There might be a couple of sides, you know, fighting out for, you know, that last spot in the eight. I just wonder also, Greg, whether it could help you manipulate where you finish in terms of draft positions, where, you know, you've got someone who's playing some of the games for you and you say, you know what, we'll offload this guy. If they want him, we'll offload him, because the guy we're going to bring in is so inexperienced. You're talking about a young kid like Barras. He's got to come into the side. We'll have to play him. We probably won't win. We'll be trying our guts out, but, you know, we'll lose some of those games and we'll get a better draft pick.
Well, I don't think so. Because
you can manipulate that.
No, but unless it's a loan system, as Perry brought up, I think that you're still looking to the future. So if you're not going to get a short-term fix, I wouldn't have thought, in for 1 month, 2 months or 3 months.
Also coming up later this hour, Greg Denham's match committee for round four. Who should be brought into your team? Which player needs to be dropped out? 9429 1116. 9429 1116. If you want to send through an SMS, 0433 98 1116. A quick break and we'll come back with Greg Denham and your calls. Give us your thoughts too. 9429 1116. The Task Force tackles lopsided league. The AFL has enlisted a task force of club executives to help address the serious imbalance between the league's power clubs and perennial battlers. The mix of clubs and league officials will work with the AFL to consider solutions to help clubs rebound quicker and share the premiership spoils. Now, have you got any ideas for the task force? How do you think, what solutions can you give to the AFL to help these clubs rebound quicker and share the premiership spoils? Now, obviously, Maxie believes that the best way to do that is to have this ability to be traded at any time, anywhere during the course of the season, as long as the players and the clubs agree on it.
Well, we haven't even really started into the new equalisation policy yet. It hasn't affected clubs yet. It really kicks in next year. So let's just wait for that to kick in. I mean, I don't think anyone wants any more compromises in the draft. The least, the better. I mean, if you're going to talk about clubs that spend a lot of time down the bottom of the ladder, let's have a priority pick again, Kev. Let's bring that in. How well did that go?
There are teams.
I mean, I think that teams should be rewarded for fantastic management. Okay, and if you look at a lot of the bottom clubs, maybe that hasn't happened in the past. So, you know.
But there's a list here saying
Collingwood were at the bottom not that long ago, Kevin, for a long, long time. Yep. Richmond are been on the bottom for a long, long time. The Bulldogs are coming up now. Adelaide's made a resurgence this year. I mean, things do happen. I don't know if we need a task force of club people to tell us how to fix that. I mean, we've already addressed that with equalisation, the draft and other measures.
Tough getting to the top since 2004 is the table in the Herald Sun. And in preliminary finals since 2004, seven clubs haven't played in a preliminary final. They are the Brisbane Lions, Carlton, Essendon, Gold Coast, Giants, Melbourne and Richmond. Now, Richmond's played finals for the last 2 years and fancy their chances this year. Essendon virtually has played finals for the last 2 years and they certainly do fancy their chances this year. You've got Gold Coast and the Giants, who are two new clubs, Greg, who are getting bigger and stronger by the day. And most people think that, you know, they'll win a premiership within the next 5 to 10 years. You've got Melbourne, who now have got good administration. They've got a great coach, so they're on the way up. And you've got Carlton, who is a famous club, so you would believe they can rebuild. So when you look at those sides down
and
there, Greg.
And you've got Brisbane.
Brisbane's probably the biggest basket case of all those clubs there.
Yes, but there's a new administration in there. There's a new coach in there too. There's a new people there with a lot of enthusiasm.
So give it
time.
And
I talk about Greg Swan, Lepich, et cetera, Peter Schwab doing the right thing. So that will evolve. You know, they've been hard hit with injuries too.
Chris is in Roxburgh Park. G'day, Chris. Maxie's idea?
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Good Chris. Mate.
Yeah, look, I think Maxie's idea is worth looking at because like, I'm a Collingwood supporter, and over the last 3 years, we've been decimated by injury. And as a fan, there's nothing that leaves a worse taste in your mouth than seeing your team go down only because of injury. Like, you can talk about bad management and all that, but when you know your team's good enough, but it's just constantly being held back because of injury, and then you've got to listen to the chorus of idiots talk about it's because of your coach is no good and whatever, it leaves a really bad taste in your mouth.
Okay, so you want the opportunity to go out and overcome those injuries that your club has sustained. Chris, thanks for your thoughts. That's a tick for Maxie's idea. John is in Altona. G'day, John.
Morning, KB. Do you remember back in the early 80s when the Bulldogs took Neil Peart from Richmond and at the end of the season got traded back to Richmond? That's one example. And I'd like to congratulate Joel Hamlin on making his debut on Sunday, and Clay Smith will be playing for the Bulldogs on Sunday. And this weekend's game is going to be Ace Cordy's probably farewell game for the club. He needs to show something.
His farewell game? He's only a young player.
I thought he would have had his farewell game.
Oh, he's only a young player. Now, he's a young boy. He's had a lot of injuries.
How old's Ace Cordy? He seems to be, for mine, he seems to have been at that club for 8 years. They drafted him at 14, did they?
I'll check, Greg, but I would have thought very early 20s. John, thanks for that. We'll check it out. Sam is in Keilor Downs. G'day, Sam. G'day, Sam.
G'day, KB. How are you?
Sam, we're going great. Thanks for joining us. Maxie's idea. Now, we've just lost Sam there. We'll try and get him back on the line. Brett is in Croydon. G'day, Brett. G'day, Brett. Oh, we've got a few problems here. Johnny's in Richmond. G'day, John.
Oh, hi, guys. Just on the mid-season draft, I'd like to see that happen, because you look at what happened with Melbourne last year with Frawley. Clearly, he was gone, and he was going to move on at the end of the year. Wouldn't it have been great to see him move on mid-year, maybe even up to Sydney, and get a player like Tom Mitchell into the midfield that Melbourne badly needed, and then have a player like that come in? That's like an extra 6 months in a program, and develop him within the team. And all that. I mean, it would have been really good to see something like that. Frawley was gone, clearly. And, what was the point to keep him there for another 10, 12 rounds? And he wanted to go.
Well, I think one thing that Paul Roos always said, that he gave his best every time he played, and he was never, ever going to be dropped. I mean, you're talking about a make-believe. Let's get Tom Mitchell from Sydney and let's give Frawley whatever. Now, Tom Mitchell was never going anywhere. I mean, so if, under your theory, Frawley had to declare halfway through the year that he was going to Hawthorn, and then you got to find a Hawthorn player to go to Melbourne. There's a time and a place for that, and there's a good window of opportunity straight away, as soon as the grand final finishes, basically up to the end of November. That's when we can do that. I'm not so sure that even fans of Melbourne last year would have liked to have seen Frawley gone then and come in with someone from that Hawthorn wanted to get rid of. I don't know about that.
Ace Cordy is 24 years of age.
It depends on free agency, what you get compensation for, and also draft picks. So during the year, how are you going to get compensated back as it is now for certain free agents, and what draft picks are you going to have if he's out of contract?
I've heard people bring up Tom Mitchell a number of times because there was some talk at one stage maybe he could go to Carlton.
No. There was talk, but that was done by Carlton. Never, ever, ever from their camp or Sydney.
But Tom Mitchell's...
It was a made-up story.
Tom Mitchell burst onto the scene and, he's a terrific young player, but he hasn't been able to get a regular game with the Sydney Swans. But he's had probably opportunities over the last two seasons, Greg. If he wanted to move on, he could have moved on, because what I'm saying to you, Greg, is, and this is what the clubs now know, this is why Brendan Gale said maybe, the clubs themselves have just got to say to a player, we've traded you to Hawthorn come the end of the season. Because he's had a chance to move and he's elected not to move, Greg. And if a player doesn't want to be at that club now, he doesn't play at that club. We've seen that on too many occasions now.
I don't disagree with what you
said. Tom Boyd's the number one draft pick in the land. He's up there with the Giants. After 1 year, he says, I don't want to be here. I'm off. So he goes, Greg. So there's plenty of opportunities for players to move at the end of the season without changing the dynamics of the season.
I agree with you.
We'll take a break. Sports Central is coming up, and we'll come straight back with your calls. Don't forget, with Greg, if you want to have a chat and continue any discussion, all you have to do is go down to the Spread Eagle Hotel, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond on the corner of Coppin Street. Now, the Spready is open for lunch on Anzac Day, so book a table before heading to the G on Saturday. Or you can stay and watch all the games in the comfort on their four big screens. 94286895 is the Spread Eagle's famous number. Well, of course, talking about Penfold, they've been in business for over 50 years because they've been the best. Penfold Mazda, they've got the first ever CX-3 at the Penfold Mazda from $23,390. That's drive away. So book your test drive today with Penfold Mazda. And also, they've got the new upgrades across the Mazda 6, the Mazda 3, Mazda 2, and the CX-5 have now hit the showroom at Penfold Mazda. So check them out at Penfold. Greg Venom Denham has joined us. We're taking your calls, and Nick is in Hoppers Crossing, wants to talk about Maxi's idea. G'day, Nick.
Yeah, good morning, KB and Greg.
G'day, mate.
What you said before, it's a good idea in one sense, but I've just got that feeling there's scope out there where players, if they want to leave before the season or the end of the season, they can, there's scope there, they can move around. This, I think, in the future, it's open to abuse at some stage. Mm. But to be perfectly honest, it's a bit of gibberish, you know, in a way, too. And I think it'll be open to abuse with the bigger clubs getting better players and all that sort of stuff. I don't think there's a problem. Just leave it. There's ways around it. And as far as this task force that they're trying to do, that's another joke. Just how many task force are we going to have, Greg?
Well, we've had quite a few over the years, haven't we, Greg?
Not required in this occasion. I'm sure of that. We've got far more serious problems than to have a task force of club members to try and tell us that Melbourne, Gold Coast, Essendon, etc. need to win more games. I mean, we're three rounds into, Kevin, a new season. Give us a break,
but
please.
But the sides that they've named, Greg, I think we'd say Richmond's on the up, Giants are on the up, Gold Coast on the up, Essendon's on the up. You've got Brisbane Lions struggling. Carlton, you know, they're a great club. They should be able to rebuild Carlton. And you've got Melbourne, who's got poor Ruse now in his second year. You've got Peter
Jackson.
Don't
you think
there.
Carlton know
They've got
how?
Simon Goodwin there as their coach of the future. So, and they've recruited some very good young players.
Do you think the Blues don't know what's ahead of them and how to go about it? Do you think they really need some chief executive from another club to come and tell Carlton what's wrong with them? I think they know themselves, mate.
And also, just on that, talking about CEO, Stephen Trigg has come out and said that the things he said about Mick Malthouse in terms of energy and his age doesn't look good in print, and he's retracted that.
Yeah, he did, and that's quite a thing. I think once he saw it written in print, what he'd actually said about questioning his age and his enthusiasm and fitness, etc., etc., he thought, oh, gee, that wasn't really good. So that's fine. It's a very strange world at Carlton at the moment. We've got Mick coming out now, and I don't know why he says certain things. That he's coming up for a great achievement. This weekend he equals, next weekend he breaks, etc. I mean, to say that he feels like he's been disrespected and then doesn't name names, well, that's not good enough. I mean, you know, he's brought certain elements of his family into question, or into the media, which probably didn't need to be said. I think that criticism is coaches, that's part of their package, Kevin, that they've got to accept criticism from members, supporters and people that are really concerned about that particular club, and that's why they're on the big bucks. Don't you think Adam Simpson's going through a little bit of a rough trot at the moment? We don't hear him talking about all the things, the side shows that go on around his family, etc., etc. He's been bombarded by social media since the Derby and the weekend that he's no good. But, you know, I'm just a little bit concerned about Carlton at the moment.
I did see that the other day about people disrespecting Mick, and that came from Mark Evans as well. I actually feel that, you know, Mick's hasn't been disrespected. I think a lot of people have been in Mick's corner here saying the conversation hasn't been about Mick as such. It's been about Carlton, of what Carlton has said through La Judiciae and also Stephen Trigg and rebuilding, and also the contract of Mick, and saying things like he's 61 and has he got the energy. So I think all the focus has been, in fact, I think most people have been very supportive of Mick. Well, look, there might be one or two out there. I don't know. Mark McClure's been very critical of Mick over a number of years at Carlton. Now, he may be one who's been critical. But I would have thought that most people have said, Mick's a great coach. He's the man to rebuild Carlton. He's got his energy there. As long as he's got his own enthusiasm, if he puts his hand up, isn't he the right man to rebuild Carlton? So from that point of view, I think,
you know, most people have been saying they're in Mick's corner, not in the opposite corner.
If you think about it, he's bought most of the stuff on himself, particularly when he talked about a potential distraction to players, about his contract talks going on and wanting to be recontracted, etc., etc. Just drop it. Move on. Coach every week. Try and win a game as soon as you can, and things will happen. If he's going to be reappointed, he will be. But don't bring it up into the media and throw it into our face on a weekly basis.
Steve is in Doncaster. G'day, Steve.
G'day, boys. I love the show. The only way that this competition can be equaled is if that there is no free agent allowed to go to the top three clubs in any given year. You stop the Frawleys, the Buddy Franklins, the Kurt Tippetts, and those sort of blokes going to teams that are in premiership windows. And that's the issue that that I think that the system has got, because it doesn't allow, you know, the Footscrays, the Melbournes and those sort of clubs to have access to some of those players.
Look, it's been brought up before. It's not a bad point, Steve. I reckon it's worth debate. But once again, you're making compromises and you're narrowing the field. You can go anywhere you like. Oh, but you can't go to those top three or four clubs, whatever. I mean, free agency, too many people talk about the fact that it's really helping the rich clubs. Now, Matty White went to Port Adelaide when they were absolutely a basket case. He was one of the first, I think, people that actually went there at a time when no player agents told us clubs didn't want to go there. And then they became a force. Now, there's a lot of those little stories around where you go from a successful club, like he did at Richmond at the time, and you go to an unsuccessful club and help bring that club up. So, I think the pros and the cons for free agency are good.
Free agency also, Steve, was brought in by the players, not brought in by the AFL to help sides down the bottom of the table. It was brought in by the players who wanted to have a say where they could play their careers, because most of them don't have a say. In fact, they don't have a say when they're first drafted. They've got to go to the club that drafts them. So they wanted to have that say at some stage in their career. So it was nothing to do about from the AFL's point of view. So if the AFL was to bring in that rule, that would be very interesting if all of a sudden they said, well, you can have free agency, but the top four sides are not able to actually attract a free agent. I don't know whether that fits in with the AFL Players Association and their thoughts on free agency. In fact, they're even talking, Steve, about 6 years, bringing it back to 6 years, Greg.
That won't happen, Kevin.
The talk is, though.
Yeah, no, that will not happen.
So after 6 years, you can be a free agent.
No, you'll find down the track that the AFLPA will come out and probably say, we're going to not do that, not press for that for probably another 2 years.
But they've brought it up, Greg. What I'm saying is it's all about the player having more say where he's playing.
Yeah, and I think the value of the free agency so far, we've seen it been particularly valuable for delisted free agents and those, not the superstars, but those players that have struggled to get a regular game that have gone to another club, like a bloke like Kyle Chaney, for example, when he's fit. We'll probably play at Adelaide every week. So, I mean, I think there's been some really, really good cases, and it's helped a lot of players continue their careers.
Thanks, Steve. Michael's in Knox. G'day, Michael.
Hello.
G'day, Michael. Thanks for joining us along with Greg. You there, Michael?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Michael.
Yeah, sorry. I think an important point that's been lost is from 2000 to 2010, every club played in a prelim final. Then the Gold Coast and GWS came in and sort of took all the draft picks. I think it set a lot of clubs back a bit, and there was always going to be a flow-on effect from that. So I think we just need to leave the draft alone and just let it flow out.
Yeah, good point. I tend to agree with that.
Well, since 2004, though, Greg, not every team's played a preliminary final since 2004.
No. But I think the two expansion clubs actually, you know, if you weren't in that right spot to take advantage of that and to have your list in a position to take advantage of the fact that you're not going to get really good draft picks for that period, you were always going to be in a bit of trouble.
If you're looking to buy a Holden, shoot down to Penfold Holden, because they've got the new Holden Cruise starting from $19,990 at Penfold Holden. We'll take a break when we come back. Greg's match committee after the break. This is where who's in, who's out.
Now, we'll make those assessments as in the ensuing days. You know, we're quietly confident.
When you don't bring effort or you don't play to what the instructions are, and that you have to find out what the reason is.
He's in the mix, stayed in the mix because of what he did today, so it was quite encouraging.
Thursday, selection day in the AFL. Who's in? Who's out? Who have you lost patience with? Call 9429 1116 to join the match committee and pick your team's best side.
Yes, be chairman of the match committee at your club and tell us who's in and who's out. I can tell you, coming off the SMSs, I'll give you some. Ace Cordy needs to be dropped to VFL to get a month of good form up before ever considered again. Others are saying Redpath to come in. He was in good form in the pre-season, only averaged in round one, only average performance, but needs to be given 3 to 4 games to work alongside Tom Boyd. Others are saying Carlton needs to play Wiley to harden up the midfield from Aaron. KB, the Swans should drop Sam Reed and Rowan, Gary Rowan, and bring in Smith and Mitchell. Reed has underperformed, and enough is enough. And that's from Kevin in Port Melbourne. Greg, who's in, who's out?
Look, I reckon Courtney Dempsey might get a gig this week for Essendon. I reckon that they could certainly use his pace against the Pies on Saturday. They've got to make at least one change for Kearney. The big one this week is, and even though it involves Brisbane, I would bring in Matthew Leuenberger to take advantage of the very small West Coast defence. And I'd probably play Steph Martin, who's been very good in the ruck, as a key forward.
Okay, who's in, who's out? You'd be in charge of your match committee at your club. I'd still like to see Tyrone Vickery get a sniff. Look, he hasn't been there, Greg, since he knocked out Dean Cox. He's missed out this year, and he's had some injuries as well. Might need a bit of confidence. We know he can play. Get him back into the 22, Greg, in some capacity. Give him another taste of AFL footy.
They might be waiting for Matthew Cruiser to come back so you can continue your annual debate on who's the better player.
Well, they're both out injured at the moment.
Chris. Yes.
No, I said he was always as good as Matthew.
No.
Steve is in Brunswick. G'day, Steve.
Good morning, gentlemen.
G'day, Steve.
Got a match committee move?
I do. Just before I get to that, Greg, I totally agree with your comments regarding Malthouse early, and just the way he portrays himself as a victim in the media has just become ridiculous, to be honest. I'm sure his wife's not complaining about the million a year he brings in. Onto my ins and outs, I would say Murphy's captain. We'll go to Shea as president and Henderson to the reserves.
Ooh.
So Henderson to the reserves. What was the other one?
Murphy gone. President gone.
And the president gone. What don't you like about the president, Steve?
Oh, he's just a phony and a complete a fraudster. I think what he's portrayed to the members has been completely false, misleading and deceptive. And I believe that he's fallen into the role on the back of Kernahan, basically in the board, giving him the job. And he's, in my opinion, the puppet of the board.
I wouldn't have said he's been deceptive.
He
said a dumb thing last week when he criticised the board's performance over the last 5 to 10 years, of which he was a part of. But he hasn't done anything yet, has he?
I mean,
from all I know, he's putting 100% effort in. They think that he's a wonderful worker for the footy club. He might be a little bit naive on footy matters, and that's why he employs other people.
He's brought in Stephen Triggs, the CEO.
And so got Soss back, his mate.
Yeah, Stephen Silvani's come back, so there's a couple of things. He hasn't, done anything bad yet.
No, and he said, that we're going to honour contracts here, which is honourable. Yes. Not a lot of footy clubs do.
Dave is in Melton. G'day, Dave. You want to talk about Maxie's idea?
Yeah, g'day, gentlemen. I think it's a good idea because there's two reasons. The first reason is you haven't got a player pool to fulfil the needs of 18 clubs. That's the first reason. And the second reason is you've got to keep the cash registers turning over at the football clubs. Because if you have a look at the Carlton Essendon game, they used to be a 70,000-plus game every year. Look, now there's 30,000 missing out of there. People aren't going to buy memberships and hang around for 6 to 8 years for clubs to get their act together.
Well, but that's a good point you make, Dave, and I'd like to ask our fans that too on 9429 1116. We spoke about this yesterday. We worked out that if you were on the bottom of the ladder like St Kilda, it's going to take you 8 years before you could be a genuine chance to win a premiership. 5 years to develop to get into the eight. 6 and 7 years to maybe make top four, and then 8 years and on to maybe win a premiership. But I think it's how you sell your club during that period of time. It's a time of dreaming. It's a time of hope. The sort of players that you can actually talk about, the recruiting. You've got to create a vehicle for the supporters to get on board and understand that you're rebuilding and what's at the end of the rainbow. But along the way, you've got to have some feel-good stories and players to follow and, to... so you can enjoy your club during that period of rebuilding. You've got to have a story to sell.
That's right, and I think that North Melbourne have sold a story this year, and the most disappointing thing, one of the most, from the last round was, we all think North should be players this year, or they're certainly capable of it. I think a lot of North people think they're a top four chance. Now, they hosted Port Adelaide at Etihad last weekend and got 22,000. Now, that's pathetic.
How many people are turning up in New Zealand for the Carlton St Kilda game?
I see the AFL are forecast about 10, 11, 12,000, which is a drop on last year and a big drop
didn't
on the
first. Did
they
get a big crowd the first year, around about 23,000?
Absolutely did, Kev. Look, last year, I can understand that there was shocking weather conditions, but gee whiz, I'd want a bit more. I'd want a few more people going to the footy than that to say that it was is a fair dinkum international event and the only country outside, the only place outside Australia where you can earn four premiership points.
So St Kilda's got a deal with over there, haven't they? How much money does St Kilda make out of the game?
Oh, look, they haven't declared. They probably make $500,000. It probably is beneficial to
at
them.
At this stage, they need that money. It's like playing in Cairns or Darwin.
But, I mean, the game's being beamed back onto television here at whatever it is, 11 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to see an empty crowd, you know, an embarrassingly empty crowd where we should be, where the game is supposedly being promoted overseas. That's not a good look.
We've seen some poor crowds here when the Giants first started up. No,
yeah, but this is different, Kevin. This is vast. This is another country. Now, embarrassing enough up there with the Gold Coast, with the GWS.
We'll take a break. We're coming back with Greg Denham. And don't forget, if you want to catch up with Greg, all you have to do is shoot down to the Spread Eagle Hotel, 372 in Bridge Road, of course, on the corner of Coppin Street. And don't forget, it's Anzac Day coming up. You can open, and they're open, and you can book for lunch on Anzac Day. Book a table before heading off to the G. Or you can stay and watch all the game in comfort, all the games, in fact, because we've got five games on Anzac Day on the four big screens. So Anzac Day, you can spend it at the Spread Eagle Hotel, 9428 6895. Sam has also joined us from Keilor Downs, along with Greg Venom Denham. G'day, Sam.
G'day, KB. And Greg, look, KB, I agree totally with your take this morning on Nick Maxwell's suggestion. But also, as a supporter, if I was, say, booing Tom Hawkins one week and all of a sudden he comes into my side, I couldn't fathom that. And it'd take out the passion that fans have for their players.
Well, it certainly changed the dynamics of the season and the dynamics of the team.
Yeah. I've always wanted to say this. Remember when Bugs Bunny showed? Morning, Sam. I totally agree with what...
Stevie Mitchum says, rebuilding phase is a cop-out when you lose first three games and cannot do anything about it until the end of the season. If they were actually rebuilding at the Blues, would not have picked a 21-year-old with their first pick or traded away pick seven. Others are saying, just have a look at Alistair Clarkson, the way that he rebuilt Hawthorn. 2005-15 and 6-11, 7th-5th, 2008 premiers.
See ya.
Catch you, Greg.